Yes, this is Michael Dean. And it's not Michael Dean After Dark. That's my nighttime show. Man, it's confusing doing six or seven shows a week and 12 hours apart from each other. I'm doing a new show now called Michael Dean After Dark, which happens way after dark. It's Monday through Friday, which is actually Sunday to Thursday in my time zone. But it's, you can go to michaelwdean.com and check that out. And it's kind of, I wanted to do the Freedom Fiend 7 days a week, but Nima's a new daddy and he works about 70 hours a week, so he couldn't do it. So I did what I do instead of complaining about people, about them not doing my bidding. I find new people who will do my bidding. I make it open source and I make it free software and I make it a distributed project instead of a centralized project. And it's kind of turning into the Liberty Journalism School, the Liberty Radio classes, because I've got some real crack professors on there, some rock stars like Davy Barker, Stephanie Murphy, and Bill Buepert. But I've also got some people who've never been on radio, and that's one of my goals, is to make 40 new Liberty hosts to take over for me when my brain becomes soft and squishy like Ben Stone's. Hey, we got Ben Stone on here today. How you doing, Ben Stone?
Hey, Michael, I'm doing really well.
Your brain's okay. It's early, right?
Yeah, it's still early enough, but my brain's thoroughly squishy all the time. So
the topic today is Ben Swan. Oh, and you're filling in for Nima Vedati, who's working to support his babies, his many babies. So Ben Swan is the topic today. Has Ben Swan ever let you down? Has he ever said, "I'll call you in the morning, baby," and then not called? Ben Swan's supposed to be on right now, but they went back and forth. His handlers went back and forth and said, "We really need to get Ben on your show." And he's 8 minutes late now, at least. So if you've ever been stood up by Ben Swan, call in at 1-855-660-4261. Or if you are Ben Swan, please call in at 1-855-660-4261. So Ben Stone, you're the Bad Quaker from the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. And what do you think about the U.S. turning over ownership of ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the internet control of Nazi-like numbering numerators system? It's not that. It's not the word Nazi's not in there at all. But it basically means I can steal your website because I am the government. But they're turning it over to like the Ruskies and the commies and the UN and the socialists and the European Scandinavian. Now they're relinquishing control of it. What do you think about that?
Well, as we both know, statists never really let go of power when they have it. So
state is going to state.
Yeah. So even though technically, they have stepped back a little bit in some ways, they have more control now than they've ever had before, and they'll continue with that because it's not within their nature to relinquish control of something.
Yeah. Talk about that more.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of the reasons, I hate to harp on something that we've been talking a lot about, but this is one of the reasons why .bit is so important. If you have a computer and you can get on the internet and you can't get to a .bit website, then you don't have the whole internet. You need to be able to get to a .bit website. And if you have a website and you don't have a .bit version of it, then your website can be taken down pretty much at a whim of anybody who wants to write up something that looks like a legal letter and send it to your internet service provider. So, but if you have a .bit website, it can't be taken down like that because it completely ignores the protocol of the bosses out there that hold the strings of the internet, and it puts it into the hands of freedom.
Yeah, it's really square, man. They're so square, those people. And I mean, not the MeowBit people. That's us, the .bit people. And you should go to MeowBit.bit and MeowBit.com if you're still on the old .coms with ICANN. And here's why. We did something last night. My friend Derek and I, well, Derek did it. I just encouraged it. And he says I helped make it happen because he mentioned it in passing and as a bunch of possible implication, iterations, things we could put in it, functionalities. And I was like, yes, do that one. And he's like, really? I'm like, yes. And, I kind of whip cracked and said, yeah, baby, you got it. We did something last night that, as far as we know, has never been done with a blockchain, never been done on Namecoin, never done on Bitcoin. The new version of Meowbit, which you should go get. If you have the old one, uninstall it first. The new version of Meowbit has a lot of improvements, but one of them is that it sends notifications for, hey, there's a new version of the software over the blockchain. That's never been done. It's more secure than standard ways of doing it. And it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's not a brave new mind-blowing use of the blockchain. But here's the thing. Everybody and his brother, who's a programmer or a venture capital kind of, you know, I want venture capital money. People who scribble stuff on napkins and get tons of funding. We don't have much funding either. You should send us funding if you have it. Those people are all coming out with these like grand sweeping, like we're going to have flying cars over the blockchain kind of plans. And our thing is really small. Like they're trying to build the flying car. And we're like, hey, we just have this new carburetor that doubles your gas mileage. That's basically what we're at kind of in comparison to that kind of thing. It's bolder than that, but it's a really small thing and it works. Whereas there's like 10 projects right now that are getting venture capital funding that are huge and look like, oh my God, this is going to eliminate everything that's bad and make everything good. And you're going to be able to kiss people and make love over the blockchain. And you know, we won't need everything I'm hearing is just like, I mean, some of them might work, but like, it's all planning, and nobody has really done any of it to the extent we have done this. And we just added one little thing. People talk about doing new things on the blockchain all the time. Like it is a revolutionary way to distribute information. So we actually did one tiny, tiny, tiny thing that we are pretty sure has never been done. And that's kind of cool, I think. You know, we're actually doing things. They're small. They're small and definable. Instead of vast and utopian, but we're actually doing it. So go to meowbit.com and check that out. So Ben, do we have Ben Swan yet, Brad?
Nope, I left him a voicemail.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of weird. Like the rock stars, I don't know, man. The rock star should be there. Maybe he has a good excuse. Ben Stone, has Ben Swan ever said he'd call you in the morning, baby, and never done it?
Ben has never let me down, but, you know, there's a first for all things.
Have you given him an opportunity to let you down?
I have not. This is the first time. But even though, you know, I mean, maybe he's busy. Who knows? Maybe there's a storm. Maybe he took out the electric or who knows what. There's all kinds of things that can happen. It could be a legitimate situation, a family emergency or something.
Yeah.
But you never know. I hope it's nothing bad that kept him from being on the show. I hope it's just some, you know, small breakdown somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Even the small breakdowns, though, you know, specifically, I was thinking of another rock star in the Liberty Movement is Larkin Rose. Have you heard the saga of him trying to get back home from the thing in the Liberty get-together in Arizona?
No, and he's never let me down. But he's really mellow, I would almost say, like, slackerish about getting back to me. I guess maybe he gets back to, like, he would probably get back to Ben Swan quicker. I'm kidding. I don't know. I think Larkin's just a really laid-back guy. Like, you know, I have his home number. I have his cell number. We've chatted. He's been on The Fiends and The Gumbo, oh, probably a total of, you know, 12 times. No, it's probably more like 6 times. But, you know, he's a friend. And he was at that thing where they showed the Guns and Weed movie in Pennsylvania, and you were supposed to be in the room, but we did a video chat with the audience. He was there and he was real friendly to us, and he liked the movie a lot, the Guns and Weed movie. He thought it was a good example of liberty. I don't think he smokes weed, but he likes guns. And you were not there. You were in the other room doing something, or you were presenting something somewhere, weren't you, Ben? You were there.
Yeah, it was that was a year ago, so I have very little memory of it. But yeah, I was at the hotel doing something or other, and they had one group in one room and one group in another room. But Larkin's a real stand-up guy, and he went through.
He kind of does stand-up. I've seen him do something that looks like libertarian or anarchist stand-up comedy.
Well, he's really quick-witted, yeah. Which you have to be for that kind of thing.
He's one of my favorite Liberty people because he's such the everyman. Larkin Rose. Go to LarkinRose.com if you want to learn more. So what happened to him?
Well, he was headed across. He had, you know, a lot of places to stop and speak to sort of take him on the road from Arizona back to his home. And he started on the way. And, of course, his vehicle breaks down and leaves him stranded.
Ugh.
So, but he still had these appointments that he had to get to. So he gets on the internet, gets a hold of people and says, hey, this is where I'm at. And the network of liberty-minded people and activists and so forth.
They showed up and picked him up on their shoulders and carried him?
Just about. They provided him a car. He drove across country in a borrowed car. And then, you know, and his car broke down on him twice. And both times, the network of activists came through for him. And in the middle of all this, his own home, where his family was, they had a power outage, and they were stranded in there, ice storm, isolated, couldn't get out, couldn't buy groceries, had no heating. And folks, you know, fell into place for that and came through for him. It's really, you know, almost a miraculous type story to hear Larkin tell it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd be stuck. No, I wouldn't be stuck. I just don't have as many fans. It's kind of weird because our radio fans are kind of separate from our internet fans. Like I know we're on in a lot of cities. We get calls, but we don't get a lot of emails from people who hear us on the radio. Maybe they don't have the internet. A lot of them. I'm kidding. You know, I think it's just people who listen to radio aren't as likely to sit down. You know, they don't have the instant, like, you know, cat pressing a lever to get a reaction thing that people who live on the internet like I do. Like, I'll be listening to the radio, you know, to the internet radios, to the LRNs or something, and I'll hear someone I've never heard before. And, like, before their paragraph is done, I'm sending them an email. Do you do that?
Yeah, it's easy to do, though, because you're already on your computer, you're right there at your desk or whatever, and you have an instant motivation to do that. But a lot of people listening to the radio in a car, maybe, you know, they can't just drop what they're doing and send an email.
Which is why I say on the radio often who we are. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and filling in for Nima Vidati, we've got Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And I do that because I think a lot of people listen to the radio for like 10 minutes at a time, like driving from church to Walmart or something. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market with Ben Stone filling in for Ben Swan, and we're worried about Ben Swan. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com. Yeah. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends talking to Ben Stone, not Ben Swan. And if Ben Swan has ever told you, I'll call you in the morning, baby, and not called you in the morning, please call in and let us know at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. And that's if you're listening to us live, which would mean it's noon 30 in Central Time, and you can adjust accordingly. So Ben Stone, not Ben Swan. Ben Stone, talk to me a little bit about liberty and what it means to you and what's on your mind.
I often say that liberty is, you know, because a lot of these words are used, they're used interchangeably to mean all kinds of different things. So somebody can talk about freedom, or somebody can talk about liberty. Some people refer to libertarianism, and some people talk about the, you know, the Tea Party and things like this. And all these words, their meanings are so vague or so interchangeable with so many things. But to me, liberty is a flowing thing, where I have a certain amount of liberty to do something, but I don't have complete freedom to do anything I want to do. An example of that is the word liberty in the military. Like if you're in the air and you're in the Navy, liberty means you're allowed a certain amount of freedom within a certain time frame to go within a certain restricted area to do certain things. But you're not just free to do anything. And the difference in those two words, I think, is really important, because, you know, liberty still has restrictions Whereas freedom doesn't have any restrictions. You can't be kind of free or mostly free or somewhat free or 37.2% free. It's not really possible.
There's no such thing as half free is the tagline of the Guns and Weed movie. And my wife came up with that tagline, and it's pretty succinct, man. I like it. You know, the grand ideas can often be reduced to bumper stickers, and that is a grand idea. I mean, basically everything we say, the whole, you know, the 7 nights a week I do radio, 7 days a week I do radio. I could just get on radio once and say, there's no such thing as half free and walk away. But what does that really mean? Like, you know, people, what about people who say, well, I want small government, but we need some or there'd be chaos and murder in the streets?
Well, it's kind of a funny thing because whenever you talk to pretty much anybody on the liberal or the conservative spectrum, they all want to limit government in some ways, but not limit it in other ways. And it's all according to what their desires are. And that's what the problem with government is. If you have somebody on the far right side of the spectrum, they have a certain series of things that they believe, and they want to limit government in certain areas, but then they want government to completely control their neighbor in other areas. And you get somebody on the complete other side of the spectrum, on the left side, on the liberal side, and they want to limit what government can do on, you know, and things that are important to them, and they want to use government to force their neighbor to behave in the way that they want. But this is just, the only difference is that they each have a different agenda. Both of them at their core want to use the government to force their neighbor to behave how they want.
Nima Vedati says that he looks at government like a machine gun on a rotating turret mount that just goes in 360 degrees in every direction, and Democrats and Republicans fight over who gets to sit in the chair and fire that machine gun in every direction.
That's exactly right, and that's a really good summary of what government is and how it functions, and why nobody can be trusted, really, to be in control of such a device.
Yeah, and government is kind of weird because it does give that ability in a sense to the voters of getting to punish other people and use stolen money. But really, it's the government that benefits. It's kind of like the voters get to take turns in that machine gun turret, but the government is just dropping nukes on everybody 24/7. You know, they have all the power. And whenever people do things like say, well, we need money for the roads, you know, we have to tax, if there wouldn't be roads, it's like, there's so many critiques with government, but one of them is that it's incredibly inefficient, and you always end up with, who would build the roads? Not the mafia. Who builds the roads now? The mafia, basically. You know, there's always, I mean, sometimes not literally the mafia. In New Jersey, probably literally the mafia at some point in history, in recent history. But, you know, a lot of places, there's so much graft, man. You know, it's like who gets the road contract? Not the guy who will do it in cheapest and best, but the brother-in-law of the state senator who's on that committee.
Which just by chance happens to have a road project that stretches out for 17 years longer than it ought to stretch.
Yeah, and his cousin owns the land where they decide to put the bridge a mile away from where they really should put it. In a sensible world. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. ShinyBadges.com.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Ben Stone, but not Ben Swan. Ben Swan was supposed to be with us today. I don't know what happened. I hope he's okay. And, you know, maybe he was disappeared. The government does that to people. But I don't think so. I think he's eating a big cheese and fish sandwich somewhere. I don't know. What does he like? What do you think Ben Swan likes? Let's just conjecture about what Ben Swan wanted to talk about. He wanted to be on the show today. He said, yeah. I mean, his manager, his handler called me, contacted me and said, Ben wants to be on. And, you know, Ben Swan wants to be on your show. That's a big name. You'd say, all right, sir, how can I help you? We want a great man on our show. And, yeah, didn't happen. I don't know. Maybe he's fishing. Where does he live? He lives in Ohio, where you live. Well, you're not in Ohio. It's probably too cold to fish. Maybe you could ice fish. Do they ice fish in Ohio?
People in Ohio fish all year, no matter what.
Yeah. Maybe Ben Swan is fishing with a six-pack of good beer on Lake what's a lake in Ohio?
Oh my, Caesar's Creek has a wonderful lake that's great to visit.
Okay, this is sounding like the Morning Zoo crew. Let's get back to business here. You were going to, you know, I was talking about how Nima Vidati said that government is you know, what people are voting for is to get a chance to sit in the kitty chair and shoot the real machine gun in 360 degrees at everybody and destroy everything and spend a lot of money and make a lot of noise and punish people they don't like. And the real thing is, though, that by voting to get that power, they're making something bigger happen, which is that government is just dropping nukes on everyone all day long. That's our figurative way of putting it. So you had something to say about Franz Oppenheimer. Isn't he the daddy of the bomb? Of the atomic bomb?
No, that's a different Oppenheimer. Franz Oppenheimer was a philosopher that lived in the late 1800s and
early
1900s.
Boy, that segue was rusty, man. That was creaky. Okay.
That's okay.
Tell me about the other great man, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Franz Oppenheimer, he had two...
Franz Oppenheimer dropped truth bombs, and he had to do it because it took 5 years off the truth war, right? The truth war?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Okay.
He really had two things that really stick in my mind as being the two things that really stand out that separate Franz Oppenheimer from all the other philosophers of his age. And one of those is his view of the state. I'll read a real quick. This is from his book, The State. He said, there are two fundamentally opposed means whereby men, requiring sustenance, are impelled to obtain the necessary means for satisfying his desires. These are work and robbery, one's own labor, and the forcible appropriation of the labor of others. And when we're talking about the state, that's really what we're talking about. There are two types of people in the world, those who work and are productive and make things, and they provide actual goods and services that are voluntarily purchased in the marketplace. And then there are those who are thieves, and they rob and they steal. And some thieves and robbers and people who steal do so by, you know, sneaking into a house at night or by hanging around in an alley and waiting for somebody to walk by. But other people steal and rob by using
proxy.
The excuse. Yes, exactly, by using the excuse of government. And they rob you by writing laws that they like, and using those laws to say things arbitrarily that are against the law. So if you have the wrong object, or you own the wrong plant, or you're standing in the wrong place at the wrong time, or you decide to walk across the road in a place where you're not supposed to walk across the road, or they have all these different rules, but at the heart, they're all really for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to rob you. And so every nickel of tax and every fine and every regulation that causes you to have to go and fill out a form at the county and pay them a little, you know, $100 fee for their stamp of approval on your little piece of paper, every one of those falls into Franz Oppenheimer's description of robbery. There are really only two ways to make money. One is through your own labor, and the other is through forcing someone else to give up the goods from their labor. And that's really one of the fundamental things that Oppenheimer put out there, and the way that he put it out. He wasn't the first to put it out. Lysander Spooner said the same thing 100 years earlier, well, about 75 years earlier. But Franz Oppenheimer said it in German, so philosophically it sounds better.
Yeah, German philosophy. There's a lot of it. a lot of libertarian German philosophy too, which is kind of weird because the Germans are not known in history for their. Some Germans were not very libertarian. They were quite the opposite. And, you know, people always compare people to Hitler when they don't agree with what they do. You know, that's kind of funny because it's like if you look at any, you know, they say there's a rule. What is the rule that every conversation goes to someone calling someone Hitler within a page?
Oh, wow, that jumps out of my mind.
Yeah, Goodwin's Law. And
there you go.
You know, where that generally comes up is like people from the left and people from the right basically arguing about who gets to sit in the turret chair and shoot machine gun bullets at everyone and have them stolen by the government thugs, the police state of whatever country they're in. We're not just complaining about America here. If we lived in Croatia or the Czech Republic, we would be probably not on radio. We would be on the internet doing the same thing, or maybe standing on the street corner with a bullhorn. And if they took away the bullhorn, just standing on a soapbox in a park yelling this stuff. So it's not just about America. This is all governments. But yeah, I mean, when you get left, right people in the same room, they just scream at each other to the point where they're calling each other Hitler. And basically what they're saying is, I want to be able to act like Hitler and you're acting like Hitler and I don't like it.
Yeah, they want to be in control of that machine gun.
Yeah, yeah. So go on with Mr. Oppenheimer. Do you have more on him?
Sure. Well, the other thing that Oppenheimer brought up that had almost been left aside, there has been a long-standing story that's been written about the origin of where we got government, where we got the state specifically. And the old story is, well, people just couldn't get along, so they had to form a social contract where everybody agreed that they would let this small group of people tell them how to live their lives. And this doesn't make sense on so many levels, but as Franz Oppenheimer pointed out, historically, using actual physical evidence of history disproves that. The state has always been a result of one group of people conquering another group of people, and the conquering then, to one extent or another, enslaving the vanquished, enslaving the weaker of the two groups. And that's what government, really, the true history of government, has always been. It's always been one group of people using violence and using aggression to dominate another group of people and then living off of the weaker, the stronger living off of the weaker. And that's what it is today. Except, as you see in the movie Idiocracy, with enough time, the ruling class gets to be some of the most stupid people in the world. You can see this lately by things that have been, you know, there have been several statements by politicians recently that you just stand and look at them with unblinking eyes, thinking, how can somebody be this dumb?
Give me an example, Ben.
The one lady, I can't remember her name, that mentioned that the Constitution was 400 years old, just like a week ago or so. And the other one was Rangel. What was it that Rangel said?
Oh, Charlie Rangel. Yeah. Charlie Rangel looks like a Saturday Night Live skit of a stupid, immoral politician. I mean, this guy, hasn't he been, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's been under investigation for fraud a number of times, and it may have been ongoing at some point. And wasn't his own party telling him to step down? Like, wasn't Nancy Pelosi calling on his cell phone and saying, please, for the good of the Democrats, please just retire and write your memoirs? And he was like, no. Isn't that guy?
I think so. But then again, I think they all take turns doing that on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. when your own party wants you to step down and you won't. Yeah, Anthony Weiner was another one of those. He was horrible. He was caught literally with his pants down, which is kind of weird to me that politicians like him and Clinton always get in trouble for, you know, having their pants down when they're, you know, like Clinton was out murdering people. Clinton was bombing aspirin factories in other countries and saying they had weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, the timing of that looks like he did that to get the attention off what he did. But he also stole a bunch of gun rights from Americans. He also vastly increased the size of the federal government. Bill Clinton is literally the reason that the militia movement exists. Like, it got totally stepped up during him. And wasn't Waco under his watch?
It was, yeah. The person I was trying to think of their name was Sheila Jackson Lee. That said
Sheila Jackson Lee is like the female Charlie Rangel, but worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other guy, I can't remember his name, that was concerned about whether the island of the Philippines would tip
would
over
sink.
If they got. Yeah. Yeah.
If they got too many people. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Or maybe it was Guam. Maybe he was talking about Guam.
Yeah. It was an American. I think it was the representative for Guam. There's a couple territories that are left over from the empire trading of, you know, dividing the empire over tea in World War One and World War Two. America has some property that's very far from the continental U.S. that's, you know, Puerto Rico is practically Florida. I mean, it's right down there, but Guam is far, far, far away. And they have representatives, but they get to vote, but their vote doesn't get counted. And then there's always like fights for that too. Like Washington D.C. is like that. It has a rep, but they don't get to count them, which is ironic because Washington D.C. for a while, maybe it's still like this, their license plate said Washington D.C. taxation without representation, because the city decided they wanted their vote to count. And made those license plates and stole a bunch of money to do it and, you know, had a majority vote or maybe just a back room, you know, five people on a panel or something. And that's pretty funny because that was literally one of the battle cries of the Revolutionary War. And there is far less representation and far more taxation now in D.C. and because of D.C. and everywhere in America than that war was fought over. But they think it's cute to do that. They always have these, like, you know, they have the 4th of July celebration and, you know, come celebrate your independence. But, you know, try showing up with a sidearm on your hip to protect your family. They'll throw you in prison. Try showing up with some fireworks that they don't like. They'll throw you in prison. Try smoking some hemp like Thomas Jefferson would have, and they'll throw you in prison on the 4th of July at your civic 4th of July celebration. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone filling in for Nima Vidati, filling in for Ben Swan. All right.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
Yeah. 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 So, Ben.
Yes.
Stone, not Swan. Please say the whole thing. What you got, man? You can talk about minor infractions at the Freedom Festival.
Yeah.
And how they arrest people on 4th of July. Oh, something about things that go boom in the night. What is it?
Yeah. So we were talking about fireworks, and it's funny that, you know, all the really fun fireworks either shoot up in the sky or they explode. Well, of course, they're dangerous. People, a lot of things are dangerous. Hammers are dangerous. Rocks are dangerous. But the government seems, on all levels, they seem to be really offended by fireworks that imitate things like guns and explosions and things, which was the original purpose of having fireworks on the 4th of July, was to celebrate the victory, the battle victories that brought that brought our independence from the government of England. And over time, it seems like, yeah,
I'm laughing at something completely unrelated, man. Our meme guy just sent me this picture and said, I wanted to approve this with you before I post it. And it's like, it's a Frank Frazetta painting, you know, the like scantily clad, muscly women with, you know, Conan the Barbarian kind of stuff. It's like a woman like that. It's a woman like that and a man holding a rifle, wearing a purple cape or something. And my head is on the man holding the rifle, wearing the purple cape. And the woman, he put Stephanie Murphy's head on it. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. It's, you know, I'm married. She's, got a boyfriend. Don't make us a couple, even in, you know. So I told him to just, I said, yeah, let's not do that. And then there's like giant robo lizards behind us. And I said, yeah, just replace Stephanie's head on the woman with Ben Stone's head. It'll be funny. So go on. That'll exist. That'll happen in a minute or two. Go ahead.
That's the wonderful thing about
I was going to say Nima, but I was like, Ben looks even manlier. It'll be more ironic. So, yeah. I mean, not that Nima's not manly, but you have a more manly beard, and you look like an old biker, and you are an old biker. So it'll be funny.
That's the wonderful thing, though, about having the kind of fan base that you have, that you can just – it's something like that.
Let it be written. Let it be done. Like I'm Ramses or something.
Yeah. The voluntary Ramses.
Yeah, because they don't have to do it. It doesn't have to be done if I say let it be written.
On the fireworks thing, though, I think that just – it strikes me odd that governments tend to want to outlaw the very thing, the very types of fireworks that most appeal to that original thought.
I think it's ironic that they want to outlaw the things that carve the nation out. I mean, think about Massachusetts is the cradle of liberty if you look at the state view of it. I mean, it's literally where the Revolutionary War was initiated. It's at that bridge, Lexington and Concord. And, it's one of the places that it's the most illegal to have any kind of gun in America.
Yeah. Yeah. And oddly enough, if you're driving in that part of the country, driving through Massachusetts, like on your way to Vermont with an out-of-state plate is almost a guaranteed way of getting pulled over. And people talk about the South being bad about that kind of thing. Try driving through Massachusetts with an Ohio license plate on your way to Vermont or on your way to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And if you can get through without getting pulled over, it's a miracle.
I remember driving through Massachusetts with my band in like 1986 and seeing signs everywhere on the highway that said, they weren't big billboards. They were like, speed limit size signs. And they said something like, possession of a gun, at least 1 year in jail, automatic. Automatically.
You.
Yeah. Like, and it blew my mind because I was like, why would anyone have a gun, man? And I remember thinking like, I'm glad they have those signs. Those signs make me feel safer. That's ridiculous, man. That is so ridiculous. Tell me why that's ridiculous.
Well, first off, it is it's all part of the show. It's a part of the theater that makes people feel like, oh, the government's protecting me.
Yeah.
But if you ever
finish it up, go ahead, man. Don't let that music bother you.
If you've ever been safe from a law by a law, then you weren't. You're not really safe to begin with if a law can save you.
Yeah. Laws can only punish; they can't protect. We'll be back with more in hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone filling in for Ben Swan, filling in for Nima Vidotti on the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to learn more. We'll be back. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends with Mr. Ben Stone filling in for Mr. Nima Vidotti. And we have Ben Swan. We raised him from the, I don't know where. How you doing, Ben Swan?
I'm well. How are you? I'm late and I'm on a phone, so I apologize. Many apologies. Thousand apologies to you guys.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends are, we're not the most popular show in the world, but we're the most punctual show in the world, and we also pride us on our quality of audio, so I'm going to tease you about it. So I'm going to talk about me for the first minute or two of your interview since you're an hour late.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're a big Bitcoin guy, right? Now?
I am. Total believer in Bitcoin.
Okay. And you believe in the blockchain too, right? As beyond Bitcoin as something that's going to transform society?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in cryptocurrency. I believe in blockchain. I believe in what they call decentralized currency.
Yeah.
We could debate about exactly what that means. But yeah, I'm a supporter of all of that.
Well, my friend Derek, who you've met at Porkfest, I'm looking at a picture of you standing next to him. He's a kind of thin guy with a beard, and he's got a Bitcoin shirt on, which do you remember him offhand? The guy at Porkfest with Bitcoin shirt and the beard? That could be anybody, huh?
I was going to say the Bitcoin shirt and the beard could be.
Yeah, that's half a Porkfest. And, you know, yeah. All of the men and a few of the women. No, I'm kidding. So he and I are working on a project called MeowBit. Have you heard of MeowBit?
I have not.
Okay, MeowBit is a free software utility for Windows for viewing .bit addresses on the whole computer. Do you know what .bit addresses are?
Vaguely. I don't know a lot about it. Because I did see Nima over at the Bitcoin conference, and he mentioned to me the .bit idea.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've been trying to get a hold of you. You're a hard guy to get a hold of. So I've got you here right now. I'm going to tell you I have your address in .bit. I have benswan.bit, and I'm willing to give it to you anytime you or one of your tech guys gets with me and gets a Namecoin wallet and lets me transfer it over to him for free and tells him how to use it. It's actually, I'm making this offer to everybody for free for the first 6 months, and then it goes up a Bitcoin every 6 months. So you should get someone to get it free.
So we got to do it. Yeah. Do it now.
But MeowBit, this thing, we rolled out a new version of it last night, and it does something that, as far as I know, no one has done with a blockchain. It's a really small thing, but it's never been done, and everybody's rolling out these vast ideas of, I will raise $20 zillion and use the blockchain for flying squirrels through the pizza delivery telephone. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but we've got something that does something with the blockchain. And as of yesterday, it does something with the blockchain. It's never been done. The notifications for new software updates come over the blockchain, which is more secure than any way that's generally done. And wow. Can't be faked, can't be hijacked as easily as doing it with normal notification methods. So you should look into that, meowbit.com. It actually does something with the blockchain that's never been done. It's revolutionary. It's a tiny revolution, but it's a real revolution. A lot of people are talking vast revolutions with blockchains, but we actually did a tiny one that you can point to and say, there it is, on meowbit.com last night.
And can you spell that meowbit.com?
M-E-O-W, like the sound a cat makes.
Like a cat.
Meow. Yeah. Bit, B-I-T. M-E-O-W-B-I-T.com. So that's what happens when you're late on the Freedom Fiends. I take up the first half of your interview to talk about me. But I've been trying to get a hold of you. You're busy.
Tell me about a website that's created using an onomatopoeia.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, Blockstrian economists. You ever heard that term?
Blockstrian economist?
Yeah.
I have not.
Nima Vedati coined that phrase. Blockstrian economist is important because here's the thing. In our lives, we all discovered Austrian economics at some point, and we went, this is the truth. You know, a 10-year-old who understands 5 minutes of Austrian economics knows more about economics than a guy working for the government with a PhD in the other kind of economics. Would you agree?
In Keynesian. That's right. I totally agree.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. So, but basically, Austrian economics is so true that it kind of becomes a religion to us, and anything that doesn't fit into it doesn't work. And you've got people, Austrian economists like Gary North, saying, Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme, you know, and like that guy like doesn't like rock and roll. That's how square he is. So, and then there's people like you and Jeffrey Tucker who are Austrian economists who embrace the Blockstream, and Nima and I call you guys Blockstream economists, and you can use that word if you want.
I absolutely will. I'm totally going to rip that off because I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, man. So tell us about your fundraising campaign and you're giving away an AR-15 rifle.
We are giving away an AR-15. We're raising money right now on Indiegogo for the second season of the Truth in Media Project. And so folks can go to benswan.com on the right-hand side of the page. There is a link where you can contribute. You can also sign up to be a part of a drawing to receive an AR-15 rifle, which we're going to give away on April 19th. Now, to be clear, you don't pay anything to be a part of that drawing, okay? That's not a raffle. You don't buy a ticket for it. You just register for it. So it doesn't cost you anything to do that. And what we're going to do is we're going to give it away. And some people have said, well, well, why would you do that? That's so dangerous. Well, first of all, to be clear, I don't have an AR-15 that I'm putting in a box and mailing to you. Okay? Doesn't work like that. It's the same process that if you went to go purchase one in your state, you're going to have to follow state laws, federal laws, background checks, all the kind of stuff that you're going to already have to do. We're just picking up the tab for it. Okay? First of all. So if you don't qualify, if by state law or through federal law, if you cannot receive that AR-15, you're not going to get it. It's going to go to somebody else within 48 hours. So to be clear about that. But why are we doing it? Well, one of the reasons why is because, you know, the Truth in Media Project is about getting truth into media. And one of the very dishonest things I think media has done over the past couple of months and especially years, they've really focused on attacking the idea of the AR-15 rifle and quote-unquote assault weapons, right? And so we talk about Sandy Hook and all the children who died there, and something has to be done. The president says not one more child. And at the same time, media is silent on the issue of drone strikes.
Now, you actually sat with or stood – You interviewed Barack Obama, and you're the only person who's ever interviewed him and basically said, you know, not in these words, but why are you killing so many brown children? What did you say to him, and what's the story behind that?
Well, confronted him on two issues. Confronted him on the issue of a kill list and how he, as president, regardless of party or person, believes that he has the power to order the deaths of people, especially U.S. citizens. Who were living overseas accused of terrorism, and confronted him directly about it. No one even since then has confronted this president on that issue.
Yeah, and this wasn't like you didn't run up to him with a camcorder outside at an event. This was like a planned news thing on – you were working for some news corp at the time, right? It was planned.
Working for a Fox affiliate, and we had a five-minute interview with him. I was granted a five-minute interview when he came to Ohio.
Granted.
And they thought we were going to talk about – exactly. You're allowed.
The king will see – the king will allow you to kneel now.
So, yeah. So we you know, when I interviewed with him and was able to ask him some questions, I wanted to know about it, right? And so one of the issues with this that we're trying to draw awareness to with the AR-15 is that if you talk about Sandy Hook, which there's been all this kind of righteous indignation over that issue, look, there have been 11 times as many children, not terrorists, 11 times as many children killed with drone strikes in Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen in the past 7 years than there were killed at Sandy Hook with the so-called scary assault rifle. And so if we're going to be honest and intellectually honest, then where is media and why are we not calling out a drone strike policy that is barbaric in the way that it conducts the so-called war on terror?
Yeah, I agree. So I'm really glad you're using Indiegogo this time because you'll get – even if you don't reach your goal, you'll get your money. Which is not the case with Kickstarter. I mean, didn't you try to raise like $1.25 million on Kickstarter and get three quarters of it pledged and not get a cent?
We got over 300,000 pledged. Yes.
Okay. That's even
and
so.
And we didn't get any of
what's your goal this time and what have you raised so far and how long has it been going?
The goal is $100,000 this time. We've raised about $21,000, a little over $21,000 already, and we have 35 days to go.
Oh man, you're going to make it. Excellent. What's the plan with the money? What do you, I know you're building some kind of media true media empire. What is it going to look like?
Well, this particular round of crowdsourcing will go to creating additional episodes of the Truth in Media Project. And this time what we want to do is focus on things like the Charlotte's Web strain of cannabis, Fukushima radiation. We're actually going to travel to different parts of the country and meet with people in these areas and really cover their stories. What we want to do with this content is eventually get it onto streaming sites like Hulu and Amazon and get it in front of mainstream audiences. So we've actually already met with Hulu and we've met with Amazon, and it looks like we're going to be up on Amazon here in a couple weeks trying to get it onto Hulu. And I'll tell you something, it's a challenge to get content like that onto these kinds of providers. It's very, very difficult. But I think that we have a really good shot here.
You should have your guys talk to me. I don't know if you know this or not, but I make documentary films for a living, and I have my stuff on all those sites and have for many years.
Nice.
Yeah, Hulu and Netflix, and they.
Well, and you know the challenge of it, right? You know the challenge of getting content onto those sites.
It's gotten harder, and it's actually, I think, got a little less to do with, oh my God, this is criticizing the government, and more to do with all of those sites used to let people on who weren't mainstream media, and now they're so catering to the mainstream media. Plus, they have really incredibly high technical specifications, and they're different for each one. So you have to output each thing as, you know, 2048 by 1047 at 60, you know, 59 frames per second, and then you have to do it at a little bit different size for the other one. It's a lot of work, man. There's no standardization. Which, there should not be like government standardization, but I would think that those guys would get together and find a standard. But I guess they're all in competition, and they want to make it so hard that people just pick one, maybe.
Just pick one and stick with them. Yeah. I would imagine that you're absolutely right, though. At some point, you would think there would be standardization. And by the way, and to your other point, that it's less about, you know, the issue of, oh my gosh, they're criticizing government. I agree with you. I don't think they care so much about that. But this latest round of Hulu, for instance, I was told that not one show that did not have an established quote unquote actor in it made it through. So that's what we're seeing is the contraction, the consolidation of content that keeps going back to this idea that, well, we have to have celebrity attached to content.
Yeah, the one movie that I directed that's on Hulu is narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and that's probably what got it on there.
That certainly helps.
So Ben Stone is going to talk to you when you come back. We're going to keep you on. Can you stay on for another segment?
Let's do it.
Your phone has sounded better. I was worried about the phone when we got on, but
waking up.
All right, we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Ben Swan, being interviewed by Ben Stone in the next segment.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. We're talking to Ben Swan and Ben Stone. And Ben Swan, I was mistaken. It was not at Porkfest that you met my friend with the Bitcoin shirt and the beard. It was at the Defense of Liberty Pack barbecue in Maine. And you say you do remember that and remember him, right?
Right, absolutely. And that's why I didn't want to say anything. You know, I didn't want to correct you on air, but I've never been to Porkfest.
So now, why? Like, why not? And will you ever go to Porkfest?
Oh, absolutely. I just haven't been invited.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your chance.
That's
a hint. Yeah. Yep. So Ben Stone is going to take over now. I've always wanted to get you guys in the same virtual room because you're people I have a lot of respect for. And my autofill on my email, I think I've sent stuff to one guy when I meant to send it to the other guy because your names are kind of similar. So go ahead, Ben Stone. Ask Ben Swan some things. Talk with him.
Yeah. Here on the Freedom Fiends, we have a plethora of Bens today. During the break, Ben Swan and I were talking about the AR-15 giveaway. Ben, explain to me a little bit more about how that's working. You're giving away an AR-15, and you can go to benswan.com, BENSWANN.com, to find out more on that. But tell me about how that works.
Well, what you would do is you would go to benswan.com. You would click on the tab that says win an AR-15 rifle. And when you click on that, you're going to have to enter your email information, and your information into there, and then you're automatically registered into that giveaway. And then we will actually do the drawing on April 19th. Is when the drawing will take place. So we want to encourage everyone to go out and to sign up for it and then send it around. But you know what's funny about giveaways, though? When you give away something, people are much less inclined to share it because they're like, I know what's going to happen. It's going to lessen my chance of winning. So, you know, we want to encourage people to share it because it does, again, the goal is to make the point about foreign policy. It's to make the point about the fact that our media is dishonest by acting as if, you know, we can have this great impact if all of us together will draw attention to the fact that AR-15s are legal in this country and are silent on the issue of, you know, our government using our tax dollars to kill hundreds of children around the world. As I said before, 11 times the number of children have been killed in Somalia, Pakistan, and Yemen in the past 7 years. 11 times the number of them were killed at Sandy Hook. So, you know, as you know, Americans who believe in our Second Amendment rights, I think we also need to point out the hypocrisy of a media that pretends it's about, well, this is about the kids. Well, if it's about the kids, then let's stop killing kids overseas because they're brown or because they're Muslims. It doesn't matter. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, I've often said that if, and I said this during the break, if China were lobbing missiles into West Virginia, killing children, I'm pretty sure that Americans would be up in arms about that. I'm pretty sure that they would get pretty upset. But for some reason, when it's happening in Pakistan, we can't even really get any kind of media coverage over it.
No, we can't. There's no interest by our media to talk about this. You know how our government refers to those people? It refers to them as being collateral damage. Now, think about that. I mean, we refer to anyone who is an accident. An accidental tragedy, a family that's at a wedding, a kid who's just close by who were killed as a result of these drone strikes as being collateral damage. Well, you know, I would say those are innocent people who are being killed. And the reality is if this were happening in any other facet, we would say it's unacceptable. You know, consider this number. Fewer than 2%, okay, fewer than 2% of the time, do drone strikes actually kill the intended target, the high-profile target that they were aimed for?
And even those aren't really verified.
They're not verified. But even if you said, look, this is specifically who we're looking for, and we got him, that happens 2% of the time? 98% of the time we know that we're killing the wrong people? I mean, how is that statistically acceptable to people? I mean, I have a hard time if it's the other way around. If 98% of the time we're getting the right person and 2% of the time we have quote-unquote collateral damage, to me that's still a repugnant idea.
Unacceptable, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
But when you flip those numbers and you say 2% of the time it works, 98% of the time it fails, and we're killing, as I said, not just children, but men and women, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters of people. And then we expect that around the world that people are going to see America as a great democracy and a great entity. Give me a break.
You want to stick with?
Yeah, go ahead, Ben Stone. Too many Bens.
Stick with us. We'll be right back after this break as we head out to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Ben Swan and Ben Stone. And I just sent a picture of that guy in Maine. That's our programmer, Derek Slopey, who cracked the code of doing something with the blockchain yesterday that's never been done, of allowing update notifications for software over the blockchain of Namecoin. And yeah, I sent it to you, and the subject line was "That guy in Maine," and you thought that was funny. And I'm like, well, Maine's so small, that's kind of specific, I guess, you know.
I guess it is. Yeah, in Maine, it's that guy with a Bitcoin shirt in Maine. It could be like four guys.
Well, if it was that guy in Maine with the Bitcoin shirt and the beard, that would be four guys in Maine, and they're probably all in Derek's basement on a Saturday night hanging out. So yeah,
they're creating the Bitcoin revolution
in his man cave. Well, last night we were releasing this update, and he was like, he was anxious to do it. We got it done perfectly, but he was like, my buddies just brought over a 3D printer they just got. I'm like, how cool is that? You know, like, wow, nice. They have a 3D, you know, that's what people do now for fun. It used to be, well, let's sit around the fire and tell stories, which is valid. But now it's hey, I'm going to bring over my 3D printer.
Let's make something.
So, yeah, Ben Swan, give out your email. I mean, not your email, your website, and how people can contact you and what you do, please.
Absolutely. You can find me at benswan.com. That's Swan with two N's. You can follow on Twitter at benswan_, which we're still fighting to get just plain old Ben Swan, but Twitter's not very cooperative. So,
yeah,
trying to make that happen. Yeah, we've got a squatter on that name. So, who knows? And then you can also sign up. When you go to benswan.com, if you sign up for the email list, we'll send you the stories that we do each day. That way you don't have to go perusing for them. It's easier to just get them straight to your inbox and send them as one email, so we don't spam you all day long. And you get some pretty interesting stories that you're not going to get in most media.
Excellent. Thank you for your service. I will say that with deep, heartfelt thanks. And I say that to people who really make a difference in liberty. And, you know, it's something that people automatically say to soldiers. And I've actually had soldiers or former soldiers, you know, retired soldiers, like Bill Buport say, you don't need to thank me. I got paid, you know. But so, yeah, Ben Stone, you go, Ben Stone.
Well, I think we should mention that AR-15 one more time just to irritate certain people on the radio that are listening. So you can get a free
assault AR-15 rifle. It's not really an assault rifle.
Does it have one of the shoulder things that go up?
The shoulder things that go up. No, I don't think it has one of those. But the other thing is, too, if you're in California, if you're in one of these states that's recently changed their laws, I guess we should mention this, that have, you know, in order to have an AR-15, they have to be modified. Your magazine size has to be smaller. We will actually, the Sebastian Ammo, who's doing this with us, will modify that rifle depending on what state you're in order to comply with all state laws. So if you're in California, you say, oh, but this... I would, but they just changed all the laws. It's going to mess me up. Nope. We'll modify it to make sure that you are eligible for your prize. You just have to be eligible for your prize. You can't be a felon.
I think in California, it's something like, you know, it has to be bolt action, one shot. No, not that, but it's like five. I think it's five or six rounds. It has to be modified and has to have a permanently attached magazine. So you can't put a different magazine on it. You know, New York State recently issued this, started putting up billboards. They changed their laws to make almost every gun owner a felon, you know, to where if you had a normal capacity mag, you were going to go to prison, not jail, prison. And they put up billboards that said, you know, neighbors have illegal guns or magazines, turn them in and get $500. Now, I did some math on this, and this is kind of interesting. You know, they say Jesus was sold out with 30 pieces of silver. I looked up what the pieces of silver were in that day, and they were something that was a half ounce of silver. Literally, with the after the tax you'd have to pay in New York for receiving $500 from the government, that is literally almost exactly the price of 30 pieces of silver for turning in your neighbors.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true, man. Price of silver has gone down a little bit now, so it's different, but at that time, it was within $5 or $8. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what surprises me?
That's a great headline.
Yeah.
It's 30 pieces of silver offered to turn in your neighbor.
You know what surprises me with gun laws? That they haven't done. My wife and I bought a new motorhome about a year ago, and we're driving it around the country, just enjoying it all the time. And what I find in this motorhome is every time I look in a different direction, I see some kind of warning sticker that the government mandated that the manufacturer put on the motorhome, telling me, you know, how to turn my gas on and off, and whether what the exit is, and how to open the door, and what direction to push on the window. And what amazes me is that they don't have gun laws that require wave after wave of sticker to be stuck onto your gun before you buy it. Because now you can't buy a toaster without having 7 or 8 stickers attached to the plug-in cord, and the cord can't be long enough to actually reach a plug-in. It just surprises me that government hasn't done that with gun laws.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine they will. The difference, I guess, is that they don't want you to ever finally ultimately get rid of the RV or the motorhome, but they do want to get rid of the guns completely. So I guess the one thing that might hold them back is they would prefer to say, you know what, let's just eliminate this and not, you know, continue to put the step process in place. Don't you think?
I mean, that's the goal. I had someone ask not long ago. They kind of made the statement that essentially it's impossible to take all the guns away from everybody in America. Can't we just accept that that's not going to happen and, you know, and move on to a bigger discussion?
And this was a guy who owned guns and was in a Western state too.
Yeah. And I think it's important that people understand, well, first off, what they're doing in one state is completely different from what they're doing in another state. And unless you stop that tyranny when you can, then it'll get upon you to the point of where you can't do anything about it. So people in Massachusetts and people in New York, they should have taken steps, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago that they failed to take. And now they're reaping the benefit, the harvest of that. And that's why we have to stand up and we have to talk about it now. Because eventually, even in states that are very, very calm and logical about their gun laws, it's coming. It's maybe not coming at the same pace. What are you seeing as far as that goes, Ben?
Well, it is coming. And part of it is this. I think that there has been a concerted effort to say, look, we understand that right now, you know, out of the gate, that Americans are not going to just flat out accept these kinds of laws, right? It's very clear. And there's going to be a lot of resistance. And so I think they're moving more to the progressive playbook that says, rather than messing with that, let's begin to build this very concerted media and political campaign that demonizes firearms so that anyone who possesses one or owns one would only do so for nefarious reasons. And if we can paint this picture, right, in people's minds that anyone who owns a firearm of any kind is not – it's not that they're a law-abiding citizen who has a constitutional right to this. No, forget that. This is a person who only wants it because they want to do something wrong with it. And so there's this greater good concept where we have to protect us as a society for this greater good. I mean, we see that happening with Facebook, right, where this mayors against guns and moms for action – pushed Facebook to ban any pages that support guns and pro-gun speech. And then Facebook actually backtracked on that after they got a bunch of pushback. But I think that's the goal, is the progressives look at it and say, we're going to institute as many laws as we can, but we understand that in a lot of states, this just isn't going to fly. And so the next step is, let's look at how we bring up this next generation of Americans to have disdain for firearms. And disdain for anyone who would own it because it's irresponsible, it's dangerous, it's really something that we have to rid society of. I think that's the playbook, and that's why I think what we're doing and what you guys are doing is so important on a media scale, because we have to go back and say, if you're going to have media that is propagandizing people to this extent, we've got to have truth media as well.
And again, this goes to the hypocrisy issue. This is the same media that we're talking about here that's demonizing this inanimate object. The same media is the one that's looking the other way while literally children are being killed around the world. Well, not necessarily around the world, but in specific places in the world by the U.S. government. The same people that are telling us that they have to disarm us are in the process of killing the, you know, the most innocent people in the world, children.
Yeah, well, look, and as we mentioned, and the rate of 10 times the death of one of these mass shootings where you get some guy like Piers Morgan, which I know nobody's listening to Piers Morgan. That's why he doesn't have a show anymore. But, you know, guys like Piers Morgan who will get up and say, well, you know, the AR-15 rifle is too dangerous because we have these mass shootings and they're senseless. We don't need to have them. Well, when you have 10 times the rate of death coming from these kids being killed overseas, and as you pointed out, look, there is silence on this issue. Instead of saying we need to take our AR-15s away from the American people, I say we take drones away from the president.
I agree,
we will
but
take drones away from him.
Here's the thing. You're talking logic, and most people don't care about logic.
No, they don't, because they're emotionally driven on this issue. And so that's where I think that we can overcome that is we start putting a face on what's happening overseas. If media would show pictures of what we're doing overseas, I mean, how many pictures have you seen on national news of dead people in Iraq?
None. I've seen them on Google. And, you know, the U.S. government actually passed a law against showing flag-draped coffins of U.S. soldiers.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That's right, because it was bad PR. But it's like, think about this. You don't allow flag-draped coffins of U.S. soldiers. How about showing the 500,000 people who have been killed as a result of the war in Iraq? If you went around and did that jaywalking deal that Jay Leno used to do and just asked people on the street, how many people from Iraq died during the Iraq war, they would have no clue.
Mark Dice does an amazing job with that. He gets a little statist for my taste sometimes, but he does some really funny stuff. Have you seen his stuff?
I have. And he I think kind of plays on that. Here's the level of ignorance of the average person.
He kind of looks like you. Do you guys go to the same trainer? You guys could be in the same police lineup, at least, if you're someone who's arrested.
Same police lineup.
Well, that's my description for people that look kind of alike, but they don't really look alike, but they're the same height, build, you know, same hair color, whatever. You guys could be in the same lineup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where if we would just, you know, if media were honest and would show some of what's happening around the world, there would be a public outcry. There would be public outrage. But because the public is ignorant to it. I mean, I'd be willing to bet you most people have no idea that any kids are dying as a result of drone strikes.
What's your website? We'll be back for the last bit, but real quick, what's your website, Ben Swan?
BenSwan.com. Two N's, BenSwan.com.
Cool. We'll be back for the closing arguments from Counselor Ben Swan on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MEOWBIT.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. And this is the final segment today of Freedom Fiends Before Dark, which is different from Michael Dean After Dark, which is my new nighttime show. And this is the redemption in the third act, as we like to call it. This is usually the tweak and review where Nima kind of sums everything up. But today we're going to have redemption in the third act where Ben Swan from benswan.com with two N's, that's BENSWANN.com, who is the only man who's ever talked to Barack Obama, looked him in the eye, and asked him why he likes to blow up children with drones and live to tell about it. Someone else may have asked him that before you that we don't know about, Ben Swan, but he's not. He just suddenly had a heart attack at age 26 or something, and nobody knows why. So, yeah, man, Ben Swan, bring us home. Make us not worry about the future, because I know there's hope, and I know you got some hope in your heart. What's your hope in the heart for the future of America and the world?
I do have hope. It's not easy, first of all. So we all know that, right? Everything we're going through as a country right now, everything we're going through as a generation is, it's not easy. But the good news is that in the last 100 years, I don't think there's ever been a time when people were more awake than they are right now. And generationally, we're fighting. We're winning. You know, a year ago, I used to go around saying, I had this phrase that I would use. And I would say, you know, liberty is rising. And the idea that liberty is rising in America is, in my opinion, now a fact. It isn't just a slogan, right? People are seeing it happening everywhere, and it's happening on a number of levels. And that's why I'm excited about things like Bitcoin. It's why I'm excited about some of the things that are really starting to change, starting to shift the culture in America. And so I think for folks who are out there who feel like we're losing, no, we're on the positive side of history right now, and we're on the right side of history. And I think that the momentum is behind us, and people are coming over and awakening up every day. And thanks to the internet, thanks to shows like yours, there's a conversation that's happening. And you look, Tom Woods likes to say that the media has always been the gatekeepers. And he says today, the national media, they're still the gatekeepers. The only difference is that the walls fell down. And so they're still standing in front of the gates, but everyone's just going around them. And that's where we are right now. And it's a pretty exciting time.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Ben Stone. You got something?
Yeah, it really is a really good time. And you know, what we're seeing is to a large extent, it's a reflection of human nature. Humans are meant to be free. We're free inside of our spirit. And so even under oppression, there's a desire to be free. And a lot of times, the more the oppression that hits us, the more the desire to be free is there. And I think that's part of the awakening that's happening right now. You know, we got squeezed a bit. In the last 20 years, we've gotten squeezed a bit. And in that, we realized that, you know, that there are limits to the leash that holds us. And all of a sudden, more and more people start seeing that leash and feeling that leash. And we start recognizing that we're not meant to have a leash. It doesn't feel right. And more of us are recognizing that. I that's the way I kind of look at the whole freedom thing. You know, you can have a dog and he's on a leash. It can be a 5-foot leash or it can be a 10-foot leash, but he's still on a leash. He's still limited.
Yep.
But it's not within our spirit. It's not within our nature to be restricted like that. We have that desire deep in us as humans to be free.
Well, and I agree with you completely. And look, I think for folks out there who they wring their hands and they say, oh, Obama's so terrible. We've got to get rid of Obama. If only we could get rid of him. I am so grateful for President Obama. I really am. And the reason I am is because I'm serious. I get it.
People wake up.
They do. I mean, look, if John McCain had become president instead of Barack Obama in 2008, we would have continued down the same road that we're on right now, the same road that we've been on. But it's more of a slow drip. And this guy has been so aggressive in pushing forward these policies and ideas. And again, consolidating this idea that it wasn't, hey, just a Bush-Cheney thing. It was, this is just the policy of the elites. This is the policy of those who are in power. And when we see that, and now people are waking up and seeing it, I think we have this moment where he has accelerated the lack of freedom, and therefore it's been a revelation to people. I mean, the NSA has been spying on people for a long time. They didn't start under President Obama. But the revelation of it has come about as a result of all these things. That's a huge positive. So I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Ben Swan from benswan.com. That's Ben Swan with two N's. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and we've had Ben Stone. Can everybody give me worms? Say worms. That's how we say goodbye worms. Here.
Worms.
Worms. All right. This has been Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.